You're listening to listener-supported WUXD Studios.
Hello, everybody. It's your host, Jonathan. I am back. Last week, we were talking to you about all the different layers and components in foundational design. Foundational design, as you know, is a patented methodology that helps you build your entire business, your entire product with this foundational layer of design. So what better way to kickstart your business and keep it running than to have a design layer just built right in? Pretty cool, huh? So sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and hope you learn something. Okay, we are back. And so we're talking about foundational design. And last episode, I basically gave a quick high level of what it is. I told you guys, you can go read the article on Medium, take a look at it. It's a quick read, it's like a 3-minute read. It kind of gives you a quick high level. This is it. Everyone, this is like the thing. So this is going to basically revolutionize how design is done. And if you take a look at it, I'm sure if you've been around for a while, you'll not only find a deep sense of familiarity with it, but you'll also kind of say, why haven't we been doing this before? So that's the cool thing about this, is that it really, really structures and embeds design as a full focus part of the process, of the end-to-end business process and product process. So yeah, let's get into it. So for those of you who don't know, go take a look at the Medium article. I'll leave a link in the show notes, and or check out the episode before this, episode 1, listen to it, take a listen to it. It'll help you get a clear understanding of what we're about to dive into. So let's talk about the different pieces. There are these things called layers. And when you look at all the layers, I think there's what, four? Yeah. So you have, it looks like five. Five layers, right? So there is brand, which is the first foundational, or well, they're all, it's all foundation, but that's the first layer. So you want to go in and make sure you establish a clear understanding of what the brand is, because that's like, that's goal number one. Then layer two, we'll dive into all of these here in a second. But layer two is systems. That's where you focus on, now that you have a clear direction on what the brand is, you build out your system. And those are things like symbols, semiotics, pattern library, style guides, stuff like that. Even information architecture. Because you have that, now you're ready to actually start to productize, put your systems in to work and productize them. And then you prepare to launch. So that's layer three. And this is where you're doing like everything that you probably thought was the definition of UX. And it's okay if you think that's not a big problem. So this is where you're doing like user testing, usability test, you're doing ethnographic tests, you're looking at heuristics, you're looking at time on target, Likert scales, understanding, you know, what the product does, how it works based off of your previous assumptions. You're prepping to launch, you're like in this really cool mode. This is where you usually get called in as a designer, which is not good because, like I said, there's two other layers before this, right? But when most people think of UX, they think, you know, of the third layer. But that's not really all that it should encompass. So this has things like you're going to be building libraries, you're going to build an internal CMS so you can disseminate all your information and communicate with people. You're going to be building diagrams, heuristics, tons of A/B testing, auditing, UX audits, looking at metrics, understanding what metrics you're going to apply and employ, the UI, the polish of the UI. So this is, and even jobs to be done. So this is the third layer. Then there's layer four. So just because you got all that stuff done doesn't mean you're finished yet. Layer four is focusing on, okay, let's launch this thing. And gone are the days where you can launch something and, you know, you just absolve yourself of any sort of responsibility. That's just not how it works. So that's why even at this layer, you're heavily involved. Even though most of this stuff might kind of fall in someone else's lap, like, you know, you might say, well, this is for marketing, they handle that. Well, that's fine, but you should still be deeply embedded hand in hand with the marketing team to make sure market research is getting done. A lot of times you can say you have it, but unless you're a really huge company, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have an independent market research team. So you're still going to need to support that. So you have to think about supporting that. And I'll take a quick pause here because I'm pretty sure you're like, well, wait a minute, we're doing all these steps. Sounds like waterfall. Well, it is waterfall because you have to kind of hit these until you go to the next step. But it's more like waterfall. It's more like agile within a framework of waterfall. So you can kind of bump around and be flexible, but you still have to have these layers before you proceed to the next one. And then you might also kind of have a concern like in your head right now, like, wait a minute, there's no way we can support this. This is not how we, ship things. This is not set up to map up to our sprints or anything like that. I know, and I get it, and I'm fully supportive of, you know, you guys making modifications to this and figuring out how it works for you, but really life will be a whole lot easier if you can apply this, even if it's at a different level of fidelity, even if it's not perfect, you still need to go with this process because it's tried and true, it's patented, it's the ROI on it is huge. It's like tenfold. So I don't really think you can afford to not stick with the process. So if you have if you can't commit dedicated research time, then you got to go back early in your planning phase and say, wait a minute, how do we make sure this model fits within? Because if you get it early, then there shouldn't be a problem, because you're gonna say, hey, what do we need to build at the company? What's our biggest focus? Where are we going to put all of our resources and money into? And if it's one project, you can still apply this method. So there's no excuses. You can still apply it. You just have to make sure you're at the early stage in your planning so you can make sure that you account for this. So it should work out just fine. And again, you can reach out to me if you want to dispute that or think you can't do it, because I promise you, you can. It's just a matter of implementing it and telling everyone this is what we're going with. Okay, so layer 5 is then your evaluation layer, where you're evaluating everything and you're refining everything. So this is kind of like the Shangri-La, like, awesome, we've made it, we're here. But you're still not done. You're still not done, because you still have to go in there. Make sure that you're also looking at any, if you have a e-commerce or purchase flow or a shop flow, take a look at that, see how it's working, go by regions, see where people are buying stuff, where people aren't buying stuff. You're gonna modify your journey maps. You might have had some earlier that were assumption based. Now you're gonna go in and really refine them. You can look at all your touch points. You're gonna map those out. You might have had some proto personas. Now you're gonna refine those and make sure that you finalize those and reevaluate those. Take a look at your demographics. That may have been modified or changed. Any brand alignment or realignment that needs to happen, that needs to happen in that phase. And road mapping, getting ready for the next cycle, because that's gonna come up, and getting ready for the next product and planning for the next cycle. So huge, right? Like in a nutshell, that's what it is. And it sounds easy when you break it down into these layers. And of course, you know, it's not. So that's the cool thing about this podcast, is you're gonna get all of these breakdowns. So I'll go through layer 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'll explain how they work. We might have some deviations here and there. I might bring some guests on the show, and we'll talk about a couple other things. I'm really excited about a guest that we're supposed to have. Galaxy, Vikram Jain from Galaxy. He's going to be popping up in the show. So I want to be able to kind of chat with those kind of folks and talk about their services and what they do. But for the most part, this season is going to be all about talking to you about foundational design. So that is foundational design. I gave you the 5 layers. Most people, we'll have a quick recap right now. Most people think the third layer is what UX does. That's okay if that's where you've been living. But if you haven't gone through layer 1 and 2, now you can see why it's called foundational design. Because it's kind of like you've stacked these other layers on, but you omitted 2. So you're kind of not doing the project justice, right? And I know I'm gonna get backlash. I know you guys are gonna say, well, this is crazy. There's no way we can reinvent this or do something different. Guys, it's okay. You don't have to do like a whole lot of anything different. It's just going back and making sure you check the boxes and making sure that you at least have something in place for layers 1 and 2. And, you know, if you're missing things and it's not well refined, you're gonna need to go back eventually. So you're gonna need to, in your planning phase, wherever that may be, whether it's quarterly or annually or biannually, at the planning phase, when you start to plan your year out, that's when you need to go in and say, hold on, we need to kind of go back and focus on these things. Because I don't know how you can think how you're gonna be successful with skipping those 2. Because we're talking about it right now. You're reading these articles, you're hearing about the process. There's just no way you can do it. Think of it like a knee surgery. and you tell me, well, you know, we don't have a lot of money to put in the meniscus or the middle part. So we'll just, you know, cut these ligaments, take off any of the scar tissue, clean it up and sew it back together. But you forgot the part that goes in between the two bones and the knee. So that's going to cause friction. It's going to be painful, right? And eventually that person's not going to want to walk or be able to walk. So think of it like that. So yeah, you can totally get by without it. But what's going to happen over time is it's going to wear on itself, kind of like bone to bone, and it's going to cause problems. And you're going to have to, I'll stop here, because this is what actually happens. No one knows what's going on. People get frustrated. You're not qualified to even identify that this is the problem. Your manager might not be, your director might not be, your VP might not be. They might kind of know what's up, but not really care. And for the most part, most of everybody's just like, whatever, it's just a job. I come here, I knock out my work, I go home. I don't try to, you know, rock the boat or like reshape or redefine anything. That's why it's sometimes good to have consultants come in, because they're not going to, you know, revolutionize your company, but they're going to give you this different take. And they'll also kind of give you this jump off point to say, hey, we invested in this. We got to kind of go by this process. So it's not, I'd rather you guys do this yourself, but it doesn't hurt to hire a group of pros who do foundational design to come in and kind of identify that and take you back and start you from the beginning. Because I just told you, it's horrible, but it's true. In a company, people are just gonna be like, yeah, I don't know why things aren't gelling, and I don't understand. Like, we're trying to create a product, but we haven't been able to nail it. Or every time we do it, we just go straight to usability testing and or high fidelity prototypes, and something, it looks good in testing, but something happens when we ship it. Well, it's because you forgot all these steps. So I'm just driving the point home that it is a travesty. This is why I keep talking about licenses. Licenses are coming. It is an absolute travesty to let products go out when you miss these really critical pieces. And you guys can like say all you want, like, oh, that doesn't, you know, that's not reality. We have to ship stuff. But that's not what it's about. You were hired to speak up. You were hired because you were smart. You're hired because they want you there to call things out and sort of be a check and balance, right? Nobody hires people because they want them just to kind of execute on a job. I hate to say this, but that's what you hire contractors for or design agencies for. You shouldn't hire them for that. Like, that's kind of the wrong use. But those guys, you're looking for them to execute. You're like, hey, I need you to get these, you know, 5 web pages up and just knock it out. Here's the color palette, you know, go figure it out, right? Well, if your internal team is treating you, an embedded team member, a full-fledged employee like that, that is a massive problem. You're continuing to like churn this toxicity within your team and the company and the community when you don't stand up and say, hold on. I get where you guys are coming from, but I'm not an agency. I'm an embedded employee. And I think because of that, when I give you guys, you know, a clear-minded assessment of what we need to do, it needs to be looked at in a different way than you would look at it if you were talking to an agency. An agency could put their hands up and say, I think you need to do foundational design, but it really doesn't sound as strong or have the impact that an embedded employee should have. So that's another thing you should take a look at. It's like, am I even being treated, you know, like I am an embedded employee? Because I guarantee if you have a software engineer that says, hold on, we're not changing our front-end framework without doing a spike investigation, without, you know, calling in some experts and, you know, taking a look and going through this big, big process that's really required for us to, you know, critically evaluate this new framework. They would go through the same thing. They would go through the biggest, hugest process just to get all that done because it's in about engineering. So make sure that you also voice your opinion and explain clearly that, you know, you have to, if you want to get this done properly, you're going to have to invest properly, and you have to understand that foundational design has to be established. We can keep skipping it every release. We can keep forgetting about it every release. But at that time, you know, what are you there for? You become essentially like a Sherpa. So that's not a position you want to be in. You want to move the needle, and you want to make changes, and you want to come in as a designer and make sure that everyone understands that design has this massive impact, and it's not just you cranking out screens. So think about that, evaluate that. I'm not saying to quit your job or anything crazy like that. I'm saying make sure you get treated the way you train people to treat you. So make sure that when you are in this design position, doesn't matter how senior you are, or whether you're individual contributor or what have you, what matters is that you voice your opinion. And there's no possible way, if you look at this system, if you read this article and you listen to these podcasts, there's no possible way you can see life delivering something that's successful and that will sell if you skip these parts. It's just math. It's just science. It's just basic business. And no other department does that. Finance is not going to skip something that they have to go step by step through. They're not. Marketing's not. Engineering definitely is not. I mean, granted, there are some things you can kind of trim down and speed up a little, but they're still going to do all the things they have to do. So why would design be one of those things that you can just skimp on? You can't. You cannot. When you have mature design groups like Google and Apple out there that are setting the bar super high, that are setting these really high standards, you are going to fail. So just getting to table stakes, just getting to the bare minimum, that's all you have to do. And that's what foundational design is. It guides you step by step to be able to just get the bare minimum. If you just meet that requirement, then you are a functioning UX department that's cranking out quality. I didn't say high quality, but quality experiences. So if that's the bare minimum and you've been skipping steps, then now you can really, really open your eyes to see, like, oh my gosh, this is what we're putting out. So I'm going to tell you, I hire people. When I hire designers, I want to know what they shipped, and I want to make sure they've shipped something. And if they shipped something that wasn't high quality and didn't have a sort of rigorous process built within it, then why do I want them on my team? Because if they didn't kind of put their hand up and put the timeout sign up and say, hey, we need to really think about the quality of that we're putting out. We need to really rethink that. Then you're not a person who can speak up. You're not a person who commands attention. You're not a person who has a voice in a company. What are you, right? I'm not going to deny there are some companies, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there are some companies out there, they don't want someone who speaks up. They don't want a designer to tell them like how things should be done. They might just want somebody to go in there and crank out screens, and that's fine. But you're not going to survive in a world that's rapidly changing, about to require that you have licenses, real authentic licenses that you can only get the same way doctors get, and that's basically pitting you up against these people that do the right process. and that can influence their teams, their engineering teams, and their product teams to make sure that they respect the process and go through it. So that's a little bit food for thought for you guys when you're thinking like, well, why do I have to do this? And if you're thinking, well, it's not my job to speak up, that is not true. It is totally your job to talk about the degradation of the process and tell everyone on the team, hey, we need to really focus on at least delivering the bare minimum. You're listening to another episode of Diagram with your host, Jonathan Bowman. Recorded here at WUXD Studios in sunny Oakley, California. Remember, we are listener supported, so click the link in the show notes if you like what you hear and you want to support us.